Welcome to Thursdays with Gary. Tom Keegan here with Gary Bedore, who's been covering Kansas basketball since the 80s. Gary, who are the two best NBA players who played college basketball?
Ever?
No, right now, active.
Oh.
In the playoffs.
Kevin Durant.
Right.
And Russell Westbrook.
Steph Curry.
Oh, yeah.
What do they have in common?
KU beat them.
Correct. Durant scored 32 and 37 against KU. Not good enough. And Steph Curry had a bundle. They didn't shoot great. They had a great game plan for both of them. Amazing when you see all the players come through here and lose to Kansas. And they just keep reloading. And the latest, committed a while back but signed recently, is the 7 foot now. Center, and pronounce his name for me.
I think it's Udoka Azubuike.
And Azubuike supposedly is 16 years old. Man, I walked past him in Allen Fieldhouse. That is as developed a 16-year-old as I have ever seen.
Yeah, a lot of people don't believe it, but, you know, everybody's saying it, so.
Yeah, and so
I know
that
Jason King was at a tournament when he was 15 or 14 and said everybody, the media just laughed and said no way he's that age. But I think he does have kind of a baby face. We'll see when he gets here.
When I was living in Connecticut, there was a 14-year-old, a freshman, a 7-footer. I think his name was Fernando Bonfim. I forget exactly which school he was at. I think it was a private school. And my son and I went to a game, and we were laughing. We said, there's no way that kid is 14. And about a month or two later, it was revealed that he was 18. But Azubuike certainly would have no reason to lie in that direction about his age at this point after signing, because this means, as a 16-year-old, that by draft time, he will not be old enough to just stay 1 year and be a one and done. So that's a big plus for Kansas that they get to keep him for 2 years.
Yeah, and when I talked to his mentor last week, he mentioned again, he always mentions the 2 years they'll be at Kansas. So they've got that in mind as a two-year plan.
And he'll, there's some minutes available if he's good enough at that young an age. And if he's got a good enough motor, big men sometimes are playing because they're big. We'll see if he has that love of the game that you need to play for Bill Self. Or we'll see if he's just a big man who's playing basketball because he was pointed in that direction because of his size.
Yeah.
Any hint from why, you can't really tell from watching All-Star games, but from what you've heard and everything, what kind of motor is he supposed to have?
Unlike Diallo, he didn't have a very good All-Star game. I think his mentor said they wouldn't throw him the ball. So I think he had 9 points in the McDonald's game. And then he played in the Nike Summit. Didn't do anything. The U.S. clobbered him.
Who's your mentor?
I don't think I have one.
Yeah. Let's say they don't get Jared Allen. He goes elsewhere, Houston or Texas. Let's say that Sheck Diallo doesn't have a great combine and they tell him he's not going to be drafted in the first round. Does Self turn around if he doesn't get Jared Allen? Does he turn around and re-recruit Sheck Diallo trying to convince him to come back to Kansas?
I don't know. I doubt it. Just because every time I've ever talked to Self about Diallo, he just says he's not coming back. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't know why he would lie about that. So,
not lie, but maybe.
I mean, I don't know why he would put that thought out just so defiantly every time I've asked him. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I would think no, but I think he's gone.
Yeah, and maybe Self has heard from NBA people that he is a first-round pick or has heard from Diallo's mentor that, you know, he's not coming back. But you've talked to the mentor. Is it the King of Molly? Is that who the...
Yeah.
That's his nickname. He's not actually the King of Molly, but...
Today, Diallo had the second best, biggest wingspan at the combine, so that's probably enough right there to get him taken in the first round.
Yeah, not a strong draft, and I figure here's a guy who's got the physical attributes. If he can develop instincts for the game. I know that instincts are somewhat what you were born with, but guys can develop somewhat of a feel for the game, and he certainly has a long way to go there.
Yeah, who knows if he'll ever play, but, you know, someday they're going to make the D-League a good league because they really need to put all these guys in the D-League.
Yeah, the D-League originally, believe it or not, one of the main purposes of the D-League was as a negotiating tool for the NBA against referees, because they have a set of replacement referees ready to go who have been working under exact, precise NBA rules. And if the NBA refs go on strike, a number of those guys they would promote, and some would rather end their refereeing careers than cross a picket line, but others would cross that picket line. So, but you're right. I mean, if the D-League ever develops into a good league, then you're talking about guys maybe going to Europe for a year and then going to the D-League rather than spending a year in college. So who knows?
Yeah, I just... I don't think Diallo's heart was really into college ball either. I think he's another one of those guys that always was thinking, I need to work on my outside shot here.
You know,
he had two great All-Star games. Those All-Star games probably worked against KU with him, because I think it went to his head how great he was, and I think his heart wasn't really in it. But who knows? Maybe he did give everything he's got, but I think he wants the NBA as soon as he can get it, like most of them do.
Yeah, they do, don't they? And Brandon Green, to me, it's a sad case, because I felt like he would have been better off transferring to another school. He'd have 2 years to mature, hopefully. He'd be on his way toward an advanced degree, and he could have picked a school that would have sent him running figure eights around screens and catching and shooting. And like I looked up two of the leading scorers in the country. One was from Wyoming, another from Davidson. They were both juniors this year. They'd practice against Green for a year, and then he'd replace him if he went to either one of those schools, just as an example. And they were getting like 18 shots a game. He could have shown NBA teams that he's not just a great shooter who doesn't know how to score. If he had been featured, which you can't feature any one player at Kansas. You get too many good players, and the whole system is you have five good players out there. You move the ball, somebody's going to get an open shot. You end up getting a lot of great shots, and that's the key to that. So you don't build it around one guy. But I would have liked to see him go somewhere where they build the whole offense around his beautiful jump shot, and he'd have a shot then, I think, of at least getting their attention as it is now. Plus, if he went 2 years without any suspensions, you know, he could put that in his past. As it is now, he's just too big a risk, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how anybody would draft him. He'll probably get on a summer league team, though. But who knows? I mean, it might depend on his interviews. If they think he's, you know, not the greatest kid in the world, why put him on your summer league team? But you'd think if, you know, those summer league teams are to give a guy a shot to see what they can do, so.
Yeah, and they need bodies to fill those.
Yeah.
He does have a beautiful jump shot, and he's a big kid. He's got the size for the NBA. It's just he's not a good ball handler, passer, defender. Good defensive rebounder, though.
Yeah, he looks like a ball player, but.
Yeah, never added up for him.
It's too bad he didn't graduate after 3 years. Maybe he would have transferred somewhere.
Yeah.
Or he could have played right away.
Yeah, but nobody wants to sit out. And everybody's impatient, and I hope that impatience doesn't cost him in the long run, but we'll see.
Yeah. You hope he'll go to Europe or somewhere and do well, unlike some of the guys that have gone to Europe. So.
Yeah. And one last question. I've written this already, that if I were a team, let's just say it was a good team, end of the first round, you have no one specific need, so you're not drafting for a position, you just want to draft the guy who you think is going to be the best NBA player, let's say. And I think Perry Ellis. But none of the projections have him as the first Kansas player going in the draft.
No, and I think it was Draft Express. I was a little surprised dropped him out of the draft.
I saw that in your notes.
And I forget where Chad Ford's got him, but he'll probably be updating after the combine. But that would be great if he got a guaranteed contract. But
ain't going to happen, is it?
You know, second round, it seems like those guys have a better chance at sticking than being a free agent. So maybe somebody will take him. But today I was reading something where David Aldridge said Seldon projects to possibly be a first rounder.
Wow, even with the meniscus tear that scratched him from the combine.
Yeah. So if he got to be first round, that's that guaranteed money. Like, and Cliff, I guess, Alexander made $500,000 this year, but he did it the hard way. He did not get drafted.
Yeah, amazing. That's awesome. He, you know, it worked out for him. You're happy for Cliff Alexander.
Yeah.
All right, Gary Bedore, thank you for joining us, and thank you for listening to Thursdays with Gary.